Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. It's good to see all you guys. So this past week, obviously, we were at VBS, and we had an opportunity to find our superhero from within. And today, Connie and I are going to be talking about what does that look like? And there's going to be three things that we're talking about this week.
Our theme verse was 2 Timothy 1:7, and it says, "For God does not give us a spirit of timidity, but of a spirit of power, love, and self-control." And today Josh is going to share with you about power and self-control, and then I'll share with you about love.
But before we do, I want to play a little game with you guys. It's super simple. What we're going to do is divide the room in half, this side and that side. And once you know the answer, just shout it out. Not a big deal. So super symbols. What's going to happen is we're going to throw up a symbol, and you guys need to name the superhero. Ready? The first one.
Come on my side.
I think I heard it over here.
Yes.
Okay. One. All right, next one. I think I heard it over here.
Come on.
Oh. I think that's over here.
I think so too.
Okay.
Two.
That was over here.
Thank you, Trey.
There's a ringer in this group over here.
Trey, right. Can you be here second service too?
Okay, next one. Yes, I did hear it over here. All right, here we go. Next one. Who said that?
It was in the loft.
Wow.
Way up there. Technically, is that side?
I know. Are you the one running the PowerPoint, though? Okay. Yes, good job.
Well done.
Wow, I'm impressed. Okay. How about this? There was a movie about him in the last 2 years, maybe? What?
Red Bull.
It was not Red Bull. One more time? Ant-Man. Ant-Man, yeah.
Hawkman.
No.
Falcon
Man. Nope.
Good guess.
No, not the arrow.
Robin,
the boy wonder, that's right. Good job, you guys. You know what? I'm really impressed. Some of those were kind of hard, but you guys pulled them out. So yeah, good job. So like I said, we are talking about our superheroes today. And back in 2002, a movie came out. It was Spider-Man starring Tobey Maguire. And there's a scene with him and Uncle Ben inside the car. Uncle Ben leans over to him and he says, what? Do you guys remember? That's right. With great power comes great responsibility. Now, I did some research on that, and I found out that it actually appears in the August 1962 comic book. And it's not Uncle Ben who says it, but it's just kind of this mysterious figure after Uncle Ben had just died. But looking even further, I see that that this quote actually predates Spider-Man. Leaders such as Lord Melbourne, Winston Churchill, Teddy Roosevelt, and FDR all made similar statements in some of their famous speeches. But it even goes back even further. In Luke chapter 12, verse 48, here we have Jesus talking about his return. And he's talking about the gifts that we're given and how we're supposed to use those gifts to the best of our ability. With great power comes great responsibility. Today, I'm going to be looking at a character in the Old Testament, and I'm going to be talking about power and self-control, and then Connie's going to be talking about love. And this character that we're going to look at a little bit today, he had a lot of power, and he could have used a little more self-control, and that's Samson. You guys enjoy hearing stories about Samson, anybody? So I grew up in church, just like a lot of you kids here. I went to VBS. And I loved hearing the stories about Samson, like him fighting a lion. A lion comes out, attacks him, and he is just able to rip the lion's mouth apart. You can go back to the previous slide. And then another time where he like destroys a whole bunch of people using the jawbone of a donkey. Now a jawbone of a donkey is like the size of my arm, and he destroys like 1,000 people with just that jawbone. And then in the last picture, where he's tearing down the pillars of a temple. I love hearing those stories. Like as a kid, like it just got me pumped up. You know, it's like cool. Like it's like the Hulk, right? It's like before the Hulk was the Hulk, like we had Samson, who was able to do all these really cool things. But something that we need to realize is that a lot of these things up here, it was either a result of a sin or a weakness, or it caused sin. In Judges chapter 14, that's where we find Samson. We actually find him in Judges chapter 13 through 16. But in 14, verses 8 through 9, in this next slide, we're going to read about this right here. In verses 8 and 9, so like I said, he was on a walk, a lion jumped out, and it attacked him. He killed it, ripped his jawbone apart. But in verse 8, it says, later when he returned from Timnah for the wedding, he turned off the path to look at the carcass of the lion. And he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. He scooped up some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother, and they ate it. But he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. Now there's two things that we need to look at here. One of them is he touched the body of the lion. In the beginning of chapter 13, when we first hear about Samson, it says that he was dedicated to the Lord as a baby. And there were certain things that he needed to live by. As a Nazirite, one of those things was he couldn't touch a dead body. But here in this story, it shows us that not only did he touch the body, but he took food from it and he consumed it. And the second thing to look at is that, what did he not do to his parents? He didn't tell them, right? Now, for you kids out there, why wouldn't we tell our parents something? Why would we not want to tell our parents something? Probably because it's not a good thing, right? Probably maybe because we're getting ourselves in trouble if we do tell them what happened. And that's exactly what Samson did. He chose not to tell them. He chose to lie to them. And the second example, in Judges chapter 15, here we have Samson, and he's holding this jawbone of a donkey. Like I said, it's like the size of my arm. It's not very big. And he's upset because his bride was given to someone else. And so in Judges 15, verses 3 through 5, he says, "This time I cannot be blamed for everything I'm going to do with you Philistines." Then he went out and caught 300 foxes. He tied their tails together in pairs, and he fastened a torch to each pair of the tails. Then he lit the torches and let the foxes run through the grain fields of the Philistines. He burned all their grain to the ground, including the sheaves and the uncut grain. And he also destroyed the vineyards and the olive groves. So 3,000 of the men of Judah, of his own people, came up to him and was like, "Hey, dude, like this is pretty messed up. Like they are more powerful than us. They are in charge of us. We need to turn you in. Otherwise, they're going to attack us, and this is not going to be good for us." So Samson was like, "Okay, cool. Go ahead, tie me up. Just don't kill me. Just take me to them." And so he's taken over there to him. He busts loose because he's Samson and he's super strong. Picks up a jawbone of a donkey, and he eliminates 1,000 people. And then the last example, we have Samson attached to the pillars of the temple. Now, everyone usually associates Samson with Delilah, right? So the thing about Delilah is that the Philistine leaders offered her 1,000 shekels, or 1,000 pieces of silver, and said, "Look, we need you to find out what his weakness is. We need you to find out what's gonna hurt this guy. How can we capture him? Because he is too strong. Our armies can't handle him. We need you to do this for us." And so she went to him, and like Delilah does, you know, very, you know, was like, "Hey, tell me, like, what, like, what is it? What makes you weak? And so he's like, oh, okay, well, if you do this, then I'll be as weak as anybody else. So she did it. Nope, nothing happened. And so it happened a couple more times, and she's like, look, like you're making fun of me. Don't do this to me. And so after, you know, she's very persistent, this lady. And so she just keeps on nagging him and nagging him, and Samson finally gives in. And he says in chapter 16, verses 17, he shared his secret with her. He says, my hair has never been cut, for I was dedicated to God as a Nazirite from birth. If my head were shaven, my strength would leave me, and I would become weak as anyone else. So, Connie and I are sharing about power, self-control, and love. Obviously, power was not an issue for Samson. He had a lot of it. But something that I didn't read to you guys is, with those first two stories, it says, next slide. One more. There it is. It says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. So when Samson was in these situations, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He got his strength from the Spirit of the Lord. And in the last example, he was weak. He had no strength. And what does he do? He cries out to God. He says, Lord, give me the strength. Now, some people look at that prayer like it's a very selfish prayer because he like references himself, like me or I, like about five times. But he says, Lord, give me the strength. He could not do it on his own. Like Dennis referenced earlier, when River was being dedicated, the Holy Spirit, like we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit. I know some of us are thinking, you know, as superheroes, like, yeah, power and self-control, you definitely have to have those, but how about love? Like, where does love come in with a superhero? I can't really think of any superheroes, you know, who are out there just all lovey-dovey and whatnot. But Connie is going to explain that to us.
Well, one of the best teachings, I think, about love comes from the Good Samaritan. And I have my friend Megan Sollenbach, who's going to come up and help me today. Okay, come on up here now. Megan, you and I talked a little bit earlier. I'm going to move this out of our way, so because you're going to need some space here. Megan is going to need four lovely assistants this morning. Megan, I've been looking throughout the crowd, so is it okay if I help you pick some?
Yeah.
Okay, let me make sure this is on for you because they're going to need to hear you. Let's see. Oh, I had spotted Mr. Joe, who helped out with VBS games, so we're going to ask Mr. Joe to come on up.
Okay.
I know he's holding a sleeping baby. You're going to want to drop that baby off. Then Megan, Mr. Peter is head of our elder board, and I think it's important for him to probably come up and help out, okay? So, Mr. Peter, could you come up? Yeah. We're not done, though. We need two more. Megan, it would be fair to make sure we have us girls represented, right? So we're going to ask Miss Regine to come up. Miss Regine helps out with VBS. There's one more. Can you spot one more? Do you need me to? Now, I think it probably would be important for the Good Samaritan story for us to have a medic. Don't you think so? So, Miss Wendy? Yeah, come on up. So, Megan, can you assign them? First, we need the person who is wounded. So, can you pick one of them to be the wounded person on the ground?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Peter's going to come lay on the ground and be the wounded person on the ground. You probably give the med kit to Miss Wendy because she's going to be our Good Samaritan. So then, who else do we need?
We need a priest and a Levite.
Ooh, who do you think should be who?
Okay, Levite, priest.
Okay, so Megan, why don't you come on up and I'll let you take the stage and tell the story. And then you guys are going to act it out, okay? So, go for it.
Jesus replied with his story. One day, a man was walking from the road of Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and beat him and left him half dead by the side of the road.
Mr. Peter, you're half dead right now. Okay.
By chance, a priest came along. But he saw the man and passed on the other side. A Levite, too, came along. But she passed along on the other side, too. But then a Samaritan came.
That's you.
She took pity on the man and bandaged his wounds with wine and oil, put him on her own donkey, and took into...
We forgot to pick a donkey. That's all right. Keep going.
Him to an inn. She took care of the man, and then the next day she gave the innkeeper 2 denarii and told him, take care of this man. If there is any other costs when I come back, I will pay you. Jesus replied, who was the neighbor to the man who fell in the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do the same.
Can we give them all a round of applause? High five. Megan is full of personality, and I love getting the opportunity to work with her. And to me, she's expressed numerous times to kids in the elementary age of how to be a good Samaritan. And as we look at the story of the Good Samaritan, we see someone who stopped and noticed someone in need. We see someone who cared for someone else's wounds. We see someone who made sure that the person was safe and taken care of and had a place to stay and their needs were met. We see someone who provided without any gain for themselves. We see someone who showed love, and love in such an incredible way that they expected nothing in return. The Good Samaritan shows us that love is a selfless act. And again, for me, that's what truly the making of a superhero is someone who does something without wanting anything in return. Like we saw earlier in the pictures of the pantry, and our students, they gave this week without knowing who it was going to, but knowing that others were in need. To me, that is one of the coolest examples also. My hope and my prayer for us is that as each of us search for our superhero within, that we would learn how to use power, self-control, and love in a way that would help us to see everyone as our neighbor, see everyone as someone who needs something that we can help offer to them. And I pray that also we would help them find their superhero within. It was a great week of watching students lead students and watching adults invest in their students' lives. It was phenomenal to watch as they discovered that they have value, they have purpose, they have a reason to help others. In just a moment, I'm going to invite the band to come back up, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for the rest of our day and for our offerings. So if you would, pray with me. Father, we had an incredible time seeing you transform lives this week as we watch students realize, Lord, that they have something significant to offer others. Lord, they have the opportunity to learn how to use power, love, and self-control to serve you, to follow you, and to help others, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the ways that this community continues to invest in the lives of children and students. And I pray that each one of us, Lord, would be moved to continue to do that, Lord, and that we would reach out to a student and help care for them in our community. Help them know why we follow you, Lord. Lord, maybe we continue to worship you through this time of offering as we give these gifts, Lord. May they continue to help your kingdom expand. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.